Exodus 4:18, then Moses departed, returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, and said to him, please let me go, that I may return to my brethren who are in Egypt, and see if they are still alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all the men who were seeking your life are dead. So Moses took his wife and his sons and mounted them on a donkey and returned to the land of Egypt. Moses also took the staff of God in his hand. The Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders that I have put in your power, but I will harden his heart that he will not let the people go. Then you shall say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I said to you, let my son go that he may serve me, but you have refused to let him go. Behold, I will kill your son, your firstborn. Now it came about at the lodging place on the way that the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin, threw it at Moses' feet, and she said, you are indeed a bridegroom of blood to me. So he, that is God, let him alone. At the time she said, you are a bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision. Now the Lord said to Aaron, go to meet Moses in the wilderness. So he went and met him at the mountain of God and kissed him. Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord which he had sent him and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. Then Moses and Aaron went and assembled all the elders of the sons of Israel, and Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he performed the signs in sight of the people. So the people believed, and when they heard the Lord was concerned about the sons of Israel and how he had seen their affliction, then they bowed low and worshiped. Loving Heavenly Father, we are grateful to know you through faith in Jesus Christ. We're thankful that in your grace and your love and the demonstration of your heart toward man, that you sent your son to pay mankind's sin penalty, and that Jesus at the cross took on the sin of the world, and not only took it on, but died and rose again in triumph. And Father, we are so grateful for the gospel. So grateful to know you, so grateful to know that we've been forgiven and have a secure future and a great hope today. Thank you for this word that you have preserved for us. I pray that you will do only what you can do, and that is to bring it to life through your Spirit. I pray that you will open the hearts of those that would be before you online and here in this auditorium. Some may be here not really having all their heart in it today, Father, but I pray you'd move them to listen and to learn and to grow, and perhaps, if they've never trusted Christ as Savior, to place their faith and make a decision to trust him today. And we will give you the glory, Father. We pray your help now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, 2 weeks ago, we heard the last of Moses' objection to God's call on his life. There were five objections that Moses had when God began to call him. We were at the burning bush, the bush that burned but didn't. And there was this conversation that was going back and forth. That ends today. But we were left with, we've seen his specific call, and Moses lived in a moment when God was on the move, about to demonstrate his power to a pagan, godless leader who held God's people in bondage as slaves. And they're building Pharaoh's kingdom, but this is going to be short-lived. God has his man, and this man's name was Moses. He needed someone to speak through. And God has been molding him. And again, Moses is going to be this man. 40 years, we looked at Moses' life. He's in 40-year increments. That first 40, we were in the second 40 2 weeks ago, about to step into the last 40 now. But Moses had completed his desert training, if you would. His session there had ended. God was shaping him, helping him, molding him into the man that he needed to be. And God's not done with that. There's much more work ahead for Moses, and God is going to continue to refine him. But God is doing that, and God is at work in his life. He's come to a place now. Moses has come to a place where he needs to make a decision. Is he going to surrender to the Lord, be dependent on him? He's in a hard place. He's been in that place. And Moses is struggling with that. His objections are to that. God's calling him to something. He's had failure in his life previous to this. But he's coming to that place. You know, the Lord, He brings difficulties into our lives. He brought Moses to a place of difficulty, 40 years in desert training. He does that for us. That isn't often met with praise the Lord and thank you for that, but God brings us to difficult places where we have to decide what we're going to do. Are we going to surrender? Are we going to get low? Oswald Chambers, some of you have read his devotional. It's a great devotional. He said this, "No enthusiasm will ever stand the strain that Jesus Christ will put upon his worker. Only one thing will, and that is a personal relationship to himself, which has gone through the mill of his spring cleaning until there's only one purpose left, and that is this: I'm here for God to send me where he will." Moses is in that place. He faced the question, am I going to surrender to what God is calling me to do? Let's notice, first of all, we've read it, so you know, right? Let's notice his acceptance. Look at verse 18. Moses departed and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law. He left that place at the mountain of God, Sinai. He's in Midian. He went back to his father-in-law and said to him, "Please let me go, that I may return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see if they're still alive." And Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace." Now Moses left a bit out of this, but I love what he did here. You know, he'd struggled with this clear call from God on his life to deliver Israel, to be that man. Remember that fifth objection, send someone else, right? Verse 13, he said, "Please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. Just send someone else, Lord. You've answered all my concern, but listen, I don't want any part of this." But God has moved in his heart. So he goes back, he informs his family. God made clear to Moses that his life was going to take another drastic and dramatic change. Remember that change from Pharaoh's adopted son to Pharaoh's daughter and left Egypt and all that he had there, and all of a sudden he's a sheep herder in a desert land. Again, it's taking a drastic change here. The time he spent with his father-in-law as a shepherd for him was about to end. Moses, he didn't just walk off. He didn't just put in his 2 weeks' notice or his day's notice and gone without any word to his family. Notice what he says here. He went to his father-in-law and said to him, verse 18, "Please let me go." And then he gives him the rest there. I appreciate that. He's dealing graciously. Becky and I, when we understood what God was doing in our lives and that we needed to have some more training to step into the ministry. We were later in life, in our mid-30s. Becky's younger than I. She wasn't quite there. But I worked on a Christmas tree farm. My father owned that farm, and I was the oldest son. That would be what I would do. I was very happy there and content and looked forward to that. That would be mine, and I would direct that and so forth. But there was a change. God made something clear. This is not what you're going to be doing the rest of your life. And so I remember with Becky's parents and with my parents, we had to sit down. Drastic change coming. And I love what Moses does here. There's respect. There's grace. He doesn't just go up to Jethro and say, "Hey, those days of shepherding are done. I really don't care about you or whatever. I'm not even going to tell you what's happening. I'm out of here." No, he brought them along. And that is beautiful to me. He's submissive. He's cooperative toward his father-in-law. Great attitude there. And that's important. He trusted God in the question he asked and the response that went. And there's that blessing. You see it at the end of verse 18. Go in peace. Becky's parents, my parents, gave us that blessing to go. A beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. But so this is part of his acceptance to God's call in his life. He's surrendering here. He's ready to take the next step of faith, a step at a time. So he informs his family, and he was granted grace in that. Notice further here what God says to him. The Lord said to Moses in Midian, "Go back to Egypt." Listen, Verse 19. For all the men who were seeking your life are dead. Remember, Moses had he was a wanted man. Pharaoh sought to kill him 40 years prior, and he sent others to find him. And this is so neat that God just ministers to his fear in this moment. God says to him, just a tidbit here, I want you to know this, Moses. So you're thinking about going, and you're going to go back to Egypt. And I don't believe God just says this because it's not an issue. Moses, I believe, is wondering, when I get back there, are there going to be those that are still alive that have told the story and still understand that he's a wanted man and seek to kill him? It's so beautiful, so beautiful. Again, verse 19, the Lord said to Moses and Midian, go back to Egypt, for all the men who are seeking your life are dead. They're dead. God lets his servant know, this isn't something that he needs to be concerned about. That's our God. You know, we're not always told all of what lies before us when we are pursuing the Lord. And some of those things that we may be concerned about, we don't have an answer to, but we need to step forward in faith. And I found out that God takes care of those things. Amen? He does. He does. I love what Psalm 56 says here. When I'm afraid, I'll put my trust in you and God, whose word I praise. And God, I put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? Verse 8, you have taken account of my wanderings. God knows everything about you. You've taken account of my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. Some of you have those that God has counted. He's taken note of that. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back, and the day when I call this, I know that what? God is for me. That is so beautiful. You know, fear is something that we deal with a lot. The Lord in the Word addresses it many times. The great servant, the Apostle Paul, dealt with fear. That may be shocking for some of you to even think of him in that way. In his ministry, he would go from town to town. He would go to the synagogue, proclaim Christ there. He would plant churches. On and on this is going. He arrives in Corinth in Acts 18, and he wins the leader of the synagogue to Christ. I think his name is Crispus. I'm not sure now. And I believe in the back of Paul's mind, he's saying, oh boy, you know, I was beaten. I was put in stocks at Philippi and beaten, and I just see this pattern. I get tossed out of town. And here I am in Corinth, and the man that's over the synagogue, he and his family have come to faith in Christ. This is not going to end well. This is what our Lord does. This ministers to me. And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, do not be afraid any longer. You go on speaking, do not be silent, for I'm with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city. That is our Lord. When we are at the end of it, when we are struggling, he just seems to come alongside, if we will listen, and say to you, I'm for you. You can be at ease. Your life is in my hand. I will protect you. I will help you. God will take care of you. He will help us through whatever. Notice he doesn't do this until Moses is on his way. He's on his way. That's when God comes along and says to Moses, hey, those guys that wanted your head, they're dead. I want you to know this. If we're waiting for our every concern to be met before we move forward with God, that's not how he operates. We have promises toward the future. But he wants us to walk by faith and not by sight. And walking by faith is that we don't see it all. We know him, and we can trust him, but we may be unsure of the future, but we know the one who holds the future. Take a step in the right direction and see how he will provide and lead you along. Notice Pharaoh's response here. God gives a lot here. In verse 20, Moses packs up his wife and his two sons. They head out. In verse 21, the Lord said to Moses, and there's just this insight that he needs as he goes forward. The Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see to it that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in your power. I'll harden his heart so he will not let the people go. Then you will say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel's my son, my firstborn. This nation, Israel, is special to God, not because she deserved it, but because he chose her. She is special today. God has a great future for Israel. He will pick her up again. Verse 23, So I said to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But you have refused to let him go. Behold, I will kill your son, your firstborn. If you just take note of those couple verses, that's what's going to unfold in the days ahead as we walk with Moses through this situation. But God is very clear with Moses, look, this is what's going to happen. So it's difficult for Moses. The path ahead is fraught with hardness and hard times. And that's the same for us. You know, coming to faith in Christ doesn't mean when we trust Christ as Savior, well, there's some great things happen. We're forgiven. We are immediately adopted in the family of God. The Spirit of God takes up residence within us. We are truly His people. And we have those wonderful things that occur in that moment. Many, many truths. But there is before us the truth of living in a sin-stained world. There's our struggle within still. I mean, the old man, the new man within to do what's right. We struggle with that. We are aliens in a world that we really don't belong. We're just passing through. But there's difficulty. You guys watch the news lately? The world's a beautiful place, right? No. And we're caught up in it. And we are to be a light in it. We have Christ with us here and now. But Jesus said something to the disciples. It's so important. These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In Christ we have peace. In the world you will have what? Tribulation. But take courage. See, as believers, I don't believe we should be fearful. Oh, we do. We fight it. We battle it. I do. But listen, we ought to be courageous believers. Why? Because I've overcome the world. Take courage. I've overcome the world. Moses has surrendered himself to God's will. He now is in the best place that any man could be. Moses had a specific call on his life. He was to deliver Israel from Egypt, from Pharaoh. You and I, our call is different. A.W. Tozer said something that I think is helpful when we think of surrender. The reason many are still troubled, still seeking, still making little forward progress is because they haven't yet come to the end of themselves. We're still trying to give orders, interfering with God's work within us, right? We know what we want Him to do, and we struggle at times when He is the one that's orchestrating and ordaining our days and in what is before us. There's acceptance there. There's acceptance there. Secondly, I want you to notice, it's kind of a shocker here. God has called Moses. He is to go deliver Israel. I want you to notice his negligence, his disobedience. Verse 24, now came about the lodging place on the way that the Lord met him and sought to put him to death. How many of you ever remember this scripture? Raise your hand about Moses. Not many of us, right? Not many of us. Moses is being met by God, and God sought to put him to death. Verse 25, Zipporah took a flint, cut off her son's foreskin, threw it at Moses' feet, and so forth. So he let him alone, verse 26. Things seem to be heading in the right direction. Moses has accepted the call of God, he's headed out to Midian, out of Midian with his wife and two sons, going back to Egypt. There's an issue, though. There's an issue in Moses' life that needs to be dealt with. One, he is put off and put off and put off. And that's why we read in verse 24, God sought to put him to death. Moses becomes deathly sick. at the lodging place on the way. Now, he's been called to do great things, but he's about to be used by God. Here we are 3,000 years later, still talking about it. But all of that, his future and life are about to be forfeited because he's neglecting to carry out a basic command for every Hebrew. God was very clear. Circumcision was to be done on the eighth day after a son was born. Moses, for whatever reason, one of his sons was circumcised, the other was not, and Moses neglected this. Brothers and sisters, if we desire to be used by God in any way, in great ways and small ways, we cannot neglect the clear teaching of the Word. God wasn't going to allow Moses to get away with this, not his representative. He's not going to allow Moses to stand before Pharaoh, to deliver Israel, to part the Red Sea. He's not going to allow that if Moses doesn't get this right. And the scripture's clear. Genesis 17:10, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and your descendants. This is a word to Abraham. After you, every male among you shall be circumcised. Every male among you who is 8 days old shall be circumcised throughout your generations. Very clear. Very clear. God in his covenant with Abraham and his offspring gave instruction toward it. It was a sign that the Jews were obedient to God. Every godly Hebrew, the offspring of Abraham, were to be circumcised, and they were to see to it that every male child given to them was circumcised on the eighth day. Moses knew this. He knew this. Yet for whatever reason, he neglected it. And I could go into my thoughts there. They're no more than thoughts, and I'm not going to spend time with that. Listen, we have a lovingly heavenly Father. We have our God is full of grace to his children, but in his love, he will discipline us. In some extreme circumstances, he will take us home. There are occasions when he has taken someone home over a sinful situation that they have refused to deal with or remedy. We often take communion once a month. We're going to take it next week. Here's a word from that passage that we go to. A man must examine himself, 1 Corinthians 11, 28-30. In so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. It's a heart check. That's what God is saying here. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly, for this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. Now, the word here is, you know what? We have an opportunity to be before God and to open our hearts and get our hearts right with God. That's what this is about. That church in Corinth, it was a worldly church, looks so much like the church in America today. There were individuals in that church who were believers who were flaunting their sin. And God says, well, you know what? You need to examine yourself. Because of that, there are many among you who are weak and sick, and a number sleep. In other words, a number have died. I've brought them home. You know what? If that's the way it's going to be, I don't want you in the world representing me like that. It's time to come home. God was doing that. He was saying something like that to Moses. Moses, you're not going to get away with this. You know better. You've been putting this off. Zipporah stepped up. I think it was because Moses was too sick. I don't know. But I think Moses was too sick to do it. She threw the foreskin at his feet and said to him, you're indeed a bridegroom of blood to me. She's not, Zipporah is not from this background. Moses married her. She's not Jewish. And this may have been shocking to her. She maybe has seen it one other time. And look at verse 26. So he, God, let him alone. At the time, she said, you're my bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision. Well, Moses is given a spouse to help here. In the midst of this is Zipporah. She knows what God's called Moses to do as far as leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt. They pack for the trip. They're traveling some 200 miles. On the way, Moses comes down with a deadly sickness. God sought to put him to death. Is taking the life out of him. We're not privy to the discussion that they had. We don't need to know that. Their son needed to be circumcised. Zipporah stepped up and did it. Moses, I believe, is too sick. And she's spared. She was used of God to spare the life of her son. You want a neat study? If you want to do a neat study, look at the women in Moses' life. Look at the women in Moses' life. From those who refused to abort the babies, basically throw the males into the Nile, to his mother, to his sister. Here you have, again, a woman that is used of God. She's hardly known for it. When I ask you guys about this text, I believe hardly any of you would remember this. But God's grace, here it is. It's all over this. He graciously gave Zipporah to Moses. Now she steps up and steps in to save his life. God's grace is in the timing of this sickness. He could have taken Moses' life like that. He allowed it to linger a bit. It wasn't so severe that Moses lost his life before Zipporah did what she did. It seems that at this time, Zipporah had to go back. She doesn't continue on with him. It's probable the son would have to go back to Midian for a time for recovery. She'll meet up again with Moses in Exodus 18:2. But I want to just make a side note here, okay? Something to think about. One of the blessings of marriage, if we will allow it, is that we have someone who knows us better than we know ourselves. That can be a huge help. They can see things in us that our own hearts are blinded to. Do you guys believe that? Can I have an amen? That's true. That's true. And those of us who are married can and should be growing because of the input of our spouses. Now, accepting that input is easy, right? Accepting that input can be hard. Our pride, my pride, often stands in the way of it. But you know what? Maybe may we be willing to listen, to consider, to strive as to how we can grow in our relationship with our spouses and with the Lord. Okay, lastly. Now I'm at noon, so I'm about done. Let's notice the deference here. Verses 27 to 31. Now the Lord said to Aaron, go to meet Moses in the wilderness. So he went and met with him at the mountain of God and kissed him. Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord with which he had sent him and all the signs that he commanded him to do. Then Moses and Aaron went and assembled all the elders and the sons of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. He then performed the signs in sight of the people. So the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about the sons of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, then they bowed low and worshiped. Deference here of Moses, of Aaron, the elders. They all show deference to God, surrender, humility toward the Lord. They stand in awe and respect of God and what he's about to do. There's Aaron. I don't believe he's seen his brother for a long time. I think it's 40 years. He deferred to God in obedience and going out to meet Moses. And what an eye-opener. What an eye-opener this must have been. It's been 40 years since they last talked, since they last looked at each other. I'll bet they look different. Don't you guys think that? Is that you, Moses? Yeah. Is that you, Aaron? Yeah. Hey, you haven't aged a bit. Yeah. Tell me another one. The text tells us they were at the mountain of God. It was at the mountain of God where Moses met God and the burning bush was there. And In my own mind, I think of Moses saying, Aaron, you're not going to believe it. It was right here. That bush, right there. It burned but didn't. And God spoke to me. And this is what he said. This is what he's going to do. That must have been an all-nighter. I have to think it was an all-nighter. I don't know. I would have loved to have been there. To have heard Moses declare to Aaron, and Aaron is like, wow, amazing, let's go. I can't imagine all it was, but the text tells us he told him the whole of what God has said. And notice the deference of Moses. He's doing exactly what God has called him to do. He has his staff in his hand to do the miraculous. He is to speak to Aaron the words of God. He's doing that. Moses has come to a place of trusting God and surrendering to his ways. William Booth said this, I love this quote. The greatness of the man's power is a measure of his surrender. That's where Moses is at. That's where Moses is at. He may have not seen this coming, and he had his objections, but he finally moves forward in faith. And notice the elders as well here. These elders are hearing for the first time what you and I have been talking about for a couple months. And it says they believed, verse 31, when they heard that the Lord was concerned about the sons of Israel, that he had seen their affliction, and then they bowed low and worshipped. And I believe it was at that time they believed Moses previously. He'd gone to them, and he had to show them that staff of God. Throws the staff down, it becomes a serpent. Moses picks it up, so forth. But they were moved. A couple truths to live by here. I'll finish. Two truths. I think they're pretty important. Negligence of the word of God is foolish. It is. I think we can all say that is so true. Negligence of the word of God is foolish. Whether it is, well, I'm sitting in my pew saying, you know what, I've heard the gospel. I've heard that God has, he loves me and gave his son for me, and that through faith in Jesus Christ, I can be made right with him. But you know what, I'm a pretty good guy. I don't need all that because I'm better than my neighbor, and my righteousness, I think, is going to be okay in the end. Whether it's that and not placing our faith in Christ, or as a believer saying, you know, I'll get to that later. I put it off and put it off and put it off. And that's what Moses did. Moses put it off. He knew what God had said. Put it off. Negligence to the word of God is foolish. Someone said, sin will take you farther than you can go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Negligence to the word of God is foolish. Brother, sister, if God is speaking into your heart of something in your life that you need to get right with him, right with someone else, I would urge you to move forward in faith. God will honor that. And lastly, I want to leave you with this. Continual surrender to God opens the door to experience his best. That's what Moses is about to experience. He's going to experience God's best for his life. But it took surrender. It took surrender. God may be moving you towards something, and you've got all excuses, just like Moses. And finally you say, Lord, there's other believers out there. Get one of them. I would urge you not to do that. Because God has good things. He will empower you to do what he's called you to do. Faithful is he who calls you, who also bring it to pass. What interferes with us continually surrendering to God? Well, my plans, right? I got plans. My pride, my lack of faith in his ability, those things can interfere. I want to ask you something. I'll leave you with this. Will you commit to surrendering to whatever it is that God is calling you to today? Will you commit to that? Will you say, okay, Lord, I've been running enough. I'm far enough away. I know this area or this plan or whatever it is that you've called me to, this area of service. And I've been giving you all excuses. I want to ask you if you will do what Moses did. That's the best response, is surrender. Let's pray. Loving Father, our pride wells up. We lack in so many ways. We do things that are so foolish at times. We disregard you. We often know exactly what you want, and yet we don't find ourselves there. I pray that you'll find this group here today with tender hearts toward you, saying, all right, here I am. Take me and use me in whatever way you would desire. Father, help us all to move closer to that. We want to be your servants, bond servants of Christ. We want to do well for your name and for those around us. And I pray that you, by your grace, would empower us and bring us to that place. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Lord bless you guys.